All right, one more episode of Inside Out. We're with Inner Workings today. Please introduce yourselves.
My name is Jim Kaler. I'm a technical specialist for the company.
Excellent.
And I'm Brian Finnerty. I'm VP of Marketing. Don't hold that against me.
Uh-oh.
And one of the original founders of the company.
Outstanding. So then, clearly, what do you guys do?
So, I mean, I can take that, Jim. We basically help developers learn how to write better code faster on the .NET framework. And we help large organizations roll out learning across their entire distributed software organization. Yeah.
Interesting. What do you mean, help developers program better on .NET? What are you talking about?
Well, we assume that a lot of people have actually seen .NET before they come to our product. So we tend to point them into directions using the .NET framework, and then we provide practice solutions for them to basically play in. So we have a sort of sandbox that we built for developers to play in so that they can learn technologies and test technologies and basically get a better feel for .NET. And we help them navigate that landscape as well.
So let's drill a little bit into that. So I'm a developer. I have Visual Studio installed on my machine. You guys have some sort of package that I install that runs inside of Visual Studio?
Yeah, we actually have our product is actually several components. We have a desktop application, essentially a smart client.
Cool.
Connects to our hosted platform, where we host some data. And also we have content that we'll push down to a user system. With the application being a smart client, they can then work on it either connected or disconnected. So if you're sitting in an airport and you have some stuff installed on your machine, you can bang way out of practice and still get some feedback. We also have some components that actually tie right inside of Visual Studio. So most of the functionality of our application sits right inside the IDE where the developers are comfortable with, so they don't have to learn a new application. It's just another toolbar with a bunch of stuff that they can poke around in and work in our stuff. And our content is really just Visual Studio solutions in basically your language of choice, either VB or C#.
I mean, that was one of our goals when we founded the company, was to help developers learn in a natural way, in a way that they, you know, they like to learn. So it's not kind of theoretical information being thrown at them from outside. They're working in, you know, their everyday development environment in Visual Studio. We're giving them real coding challenges to complete. And it's just a fun, natural way to learn by practicing. And you get better by repetition and by iterating your applications. I mean, that's fundamentally what we believe.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, you guys chose .NET as your target early on in the game. Why?
You know, it's an interesting story because it was one of the real keys to founding the company. We kind of hit on this idea that developers want to learn by doing, by writing code, rolling up their sleeves, you know, getting stuck into the code. And we had a fundamental decision to make very early on. I mean, what platform, you know, do we target? And this was back in late 2002, early 2003. So the .NET framework was, you know, really in its infancy. And we made a bet on .NET. I mean, we figured, you know, Microsoft's going to put a lot of weight behind this framework, behind the two languages, the core languages, VB and C#. And, you know, in hindsight, that was the right decision. So we focused all our energy and resources around .NET and supporting .NET developers, professional .NET developers. And you know, we debuted at the PDC in 2005. I mean, that was when we really kind of met our audience for the first time, unveiled our applications, our new methodology, and the feedback was tremendous.
Excellent. So with the, you know, .NET is the CLR and then the base class libraries. Let's talk a little bit about the complexity of such a gigantic set of functionality, how developers navigate through an unusually large amount of functionality.
I think that's, in learning any framework, I think that's the fundamental issue that the developer has to get past in order to be proficient. As we've talked about in the past, languages are nothing but syntactic candy. Mm. You know, people have their religious affiliations with a certain language.
I know people that would disagree, but
yeah, you know, for whatever.
On .NET, it is. I agree with you.
You know, everybody had, you know, that age-old battle. Nowadays, the language is pretty much on par. It's just syntax, essentially. Mm-hmm. And with the framework being particularly agnostic, because you can call any library from any language, you know, really, languages are the moot point nowadays. Mm. But navigating all the goodness that's stuck underneath that is, you know, that's the big challenge. Now, if you think about it, though, most of the work the developers do is they do a lot of the same types of tasks over and over again. And one of the things with .NET is there's a lot of stuff in there. It's just, how do you get to it? Where do you find it? Mm-hmm. So we sort of take that into heart, and we sort of point people in the right direction. We pull out some of the goodness, like file operations. Everybody does that. Web service stuff, XML, all that stuff that's used on a daily basis. We try to point people in that direction and point them to the libraries and to the classes that they need to use in order to, you know, take advantage of the functionality that's already there. Because one of the challenges, or one of the things I've found is, both from a company standpoint and also teaching programming languages, is that a lot of times people will essentially reinvent the wheel because they don't know what's there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff on .NET that does a lot of work for us already, so why not utilize it?
Sure. And so what are sort of the heuristics for you guys being able to help a pro dev get better, in the sense that, you know, how do you help me navigate this forest of functionality is my question. Specifically, what do you guys do to enable? So if I'm writing code and I'm doing some sort of file operation, say I'm manipulating strings, is there a way for me to say I feel like doing this sort of manipulate this giant blob of strings, that you would come in and say, well, you know, you should probably use a string reader versus whatever. I mean, how does this work?
We're not quite as explicit at that, but what we do is we say you're working on something and you know that you need to use an XML technology or a stream reader, for instance. You can actually go into the application or inside Visual Studio and type in a search and say, hey, does this technology exist? Say, stream reader. Mm-hmm. And we're going to basically search our catalog, whether it's installed on your machine or sitting on our platform, and say, hey, we have content that will show you, give you the opportunity to practice this or show you how to do it.
Cool.
And then they can then jump into that, bang away at that, play in there a little while, learn a few things, read some reference material that we provided for them, and then jump into their live project. So we're sort of helping them along the way.
Cool. In a real way, in other words,
exactly.
Instead of going to MSDN, which they should do anyway or may do anyway, and read about it and then cut and paste code, which unfortunately may or may not work. No offense to MSDN, they're getting much better about the documentation.
Well, we actually still utilize MSDN.
Great.
As well. MSDN is a whole other forest that people have a hard time navigating. It is getting much better, but 3-4 years ago, it was basically just a big throw it over the wall library, mm-hmm. and you had to basically sort your way through it. We took some of that pain amongst ourselves, especially in the early days of .NET, because there was so much information coming out so mm-hmm. fast that we could hardly keep up with it. So what we did is we actually took, within the context of our challenges, within our learning challenges, we essentially went to MSDN and found the links that were pertinent to that specific task at hand. Mm-hmm. And we provide those links right in the content. You can access them within Visual Studio. Another thing we provide is, because part of developing is reading reference material, mm-hmm. finding information, we actually partner with Safari Books Online. And we actually provide direct links to sections of a book that talk about what we're trying to show you in this solution. You have access to the entire book, but we take you right to the point that you need to get to in order to work with that specific challenge.
Excellent.
Some of our reference materials are MSDN. We rely heavily upon that. Safari Books Online, and also, you know, technology blogs of the shakers that are movers and shakers that are out there talking about the technologies.
Cool.
You know, so we're basically taking sort of the development approach of putting a developer in a box, sort of taking that developer's mindset and, you know, putting it at your fingertips. So you don't have to go do all the hunting. We did all that for you. You just have to go down to the pertinent link and hit it in your way.
Excellent. So you guys are partners with Microsoft. I mean, that's why we're in this fancy studio.
That is correct.
Tell me a little bit about that relationship. Like, I mean,
again, that goes back to our decision to make a bet on the .NET framework. We knew from previous experiences that, you know, Microsoft had a huge partner program. You know, you've got 5 million partners now, however many you have. So we very much wanted to be part of that once we made that bet in .NET. And we've been a gold certified partner pretty much since the company was founded now. That's an incredibly valuable program for us. It gives us access to free licenses, so we can test mm-hmm. new technologies, beta 2 and earlier. We go to the partner conference, we're hooked in with other partners, which I think is just, it's just incredibly valuable. You know, it's also a stamp of approval for our customers. I mean, you know, there's not a lot of Microsoft partners are actually at the gold level. And we were really pleased to achieve that, you know, that level of certification with Microsoft, accreditation with Microsoft. So that's one program that we're kind of actively involved in. The Visa Partner Program is another, and again, that gives us entree to the product groups. You know, we find out what's going on in Microsoft with Azure, cloud computing. Where are you going with that? How are we going to build learning challenges around these new frameworks, technologies that are being released at a rapid pace? Mm-hmm. So VSIP is a really valuable kind of partnership program that we're part of as well. And in the early days of the company, we were involved with in Silicon Valley. The emerging business team helped us get our footing, interview VCs, and all of that stuff. So really, from day one, we've moved through the Microsoft partner programs and got good value from most, if not all of them.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you chose .NET. That's one rather large development tool that we create, but we have many more. What I would ask is, do you guys plan on expanding your learnings and educational stuff for, say, building Windows applications or?
Well, we actually do. The way we focus the technology, we essentially take pieces of the .NET framework and we put it in the context of where it's used. Mm-hmm. Like we have content that's ASP.NET specific, or mm-hmm. we have content that's ADO.NET specific, or we're working on some Azure stuff. Mm-hmm. So we tend to focus it where it needs to be. So we're not talking about just a specific class or library. Mm-hmm. We put it in the context it's going to be used. So a lot of our challenges are actually like a web application. You're working mm-hmm. inside of a web application. You have to make it function based upon, you know, the requirements that we laid out. Now, as far as getting into other things, we have sort of a secret sauce that we use to be able to help developers move through this content. And, you know, so there's some reliability on what we can do with any other technologies. Mm. Luckily, with the .NET framework, and specifically, I can't tell you how the secret sauce works, but
sure.
but specifically with Reflection, it allows us to do some interesting things
sure.
with compiled code. Mm. So we're really not tied to, say, Microsoft.NET per se, but because of the tooling and because of the resources that are available, you know, it makes sense for us to stay on that path.
Cool. And I mean, you know, make no mistake, most of the people that were at PDC this year, judging by surveys, were managed developers, as opposed to the native types. But one of the things that everybody would like to see at Microsoft is more people writing Windows applications that target Windows, which means Win32.
Win32.
Now, of course, you could also target on Vista the whole .NET framework and use WPF and WinForms and whatever you want. But there's also, you know, a lot of native code that we'd like to see written. And so it's an interesting kind of game.
Then we would essentially put the task on the people that want that to let us know.
Yeah,
because we build based upon what our customer feedback.
So, but then again, you know, and that's just me spewing the typical Charles, you know, rhetoric. But in reality, let's talk about reality. What do you find developers wanting? And you just they only want .NET?
We survey our audience all the time. So we've over 75,000 developers in our community, and then in addition to all our enterprise customers. So we send out regular surveys to those folks and say, mm-hmm. you know, what do you want to learn? What's important to you as a professional developer, either an individual or in an organization? I would say our most popular stuff just across the board, our catalog is about 550 hours worth of content now, so it's big. Mm. Our most popular stuff is object-oriented design and development, ASP.NET web development, and we've noticed a real uptick around .NET 3.5 and Silverlight.
Excellent.
One of the things we got from our audience quite recently was multi-core development. We want to know how to, you know, we want to know threading, we want to know how to build multi-core applications, performance, parallel computing. So we just recently released some threading content, that's going gangbusters at the moment.
Great.
So it's a real mix, but at the end of the day, a lot of people want the fundamentals. They want to get a really solid grounding, and then they want to get up to the level of, you know, Silverlight, .NET 3.5, some of the more specific technologies that have just been released.
In addition, we also have content that's a little more abstract, like design patterns.
Mm.
So working with design patterns using .NET code.
Cool.
So we're able to using our inference judging engine, we're able to see how people are writing code and you know, give them feedback based upon that.
Good. Now, is this a compile time? feedback, or is it sort of static analysis kind of tool? Or?
No. That's we have this conversation all the time about static analysis. Yeah. We're not really that. You can use the term analyze, but we're essentially looking at your compiled binary, your compiled code, mm-hmm. and testing it against a set of rules that we've provided.
Okay. So it's post-compilation.
Post-compilation.
Excellent.
Post-compilation. Yeah. Okay. So we're not looking at a text editor. We're not saying, okay, we don't necessarily see if you've written it the best possible way. Mm-hmm. What we're testing to see is, did you follow the rules at hand? And once again, because Microsoft has some flexibility, the .NET framework has some flexibility, mm-hmm. we're able to test multiple scenarios, which you might necessarily use in the real world. We're not going to tie it to one specific way, but as long as you've met the objective, we can say, hey, you did a good job, or you might want to check here. And,
sure.
And we can provide the feedback.
You know, one of the things that would be really helpful would be to be able to infer when you start analyzing an assembly, how is this going to scale to many core? Right now, that's a super hard problem. Easier to do with .NET than unmanaged code, but still a very hard problem. Microsoft Research already is working on this problem. But going back to your parallel stuff, certainly a huge topic, and Microsoft in the managed space, we're also targeting people who don't write managed code, because in the end, driver developers are going to need to how to take advantage of a million cores in the not too distant future.
Right.
So I guess what I'm saying is there's a whole suite of managed solutions that the parallel computing platform team is working on that you guys should check out, because they've done some really amazing work where you don't even think about threads explicitly. Threads are low level, just like when you think about garbage collection and managing objects.
It's a whole API sitting on top of
the
thread model.
You got it. So it's way up, and they wrote a different thread pool, because the thread pool that we have in .NET is questionable.
Yeah.
and the guy who actually was on the team that created that is on this team, and he agrees with that assessment. So that would be really helpful for people. Let's play around with how simple it could be to... when do I use parallel.for is one of the constructs I've created. Things like that could be super helpful for people who don't think about threads explicitly, because it's hard to do that, even if you're a super seasoned developer.
That's actually sort of the kind of model we take, is we'll show you different ways to do something. And then as part of the feedback, part of our feedback mechanism, we mm-hmm. say, here's where you might use a scenario, and here's why you might want to use this as opposed to something else. So, that would fit right in line with us. Mm-hmm. And we'd certainly be interested in seeing what kind of stuff they're doing.
Well, they're in CTP right now, so, and there's some Channel 9 videos you should watch
if you want to.
And of course, we'll put you in contact with the right people. But anyway, really interesting. So, what are some of the challenges you guys have had working with Microsoft?
I think some of the biggest challenges have been the rash of technologies that have been coming out. There's just so much. We try to follow a pre-release schedule as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Like we were releasing beta content before it was actually RTM'd. That's one of the big challenges we have. Two is we also have to make a gamble on what's actually going to stick. Mm-hmm. As far as technologies, because I'm sure as everybody's aware, they use Microsoft stuff. Mm-hmm. There's good ideas, but not necessarily all of them turn into something.
Mm-hmm.
So we sort of have to juggle that as well. But overall, we've certainly enjoyed. It definitely keeps us busy. There's plenty out there and plenty of new stuff on the horizon.
I mean, from a business development point of view, it's just the scale of the company. How many employees do you guys have?
Like a lot.
60 to 70,000 or something.
Some would argue way too many.
Yeah.
But I'm not mini Microsoft. let that be known.
So for a small partner like us with limited resources, it's like, where do you go? I mean, which product group do you need to talk to? What's the most important? I mean, all these technologies are big. So SharePoint, for example. We get a lot of requests for SharePoint content. Do we prioritize that over something else that people are screaming for content on?
Mm-hmm.
And trying to work through the various product groups at Microsoft is a challenge, because the company is so big that it's just hard to get your arms around it. It's a big, big beast.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But we fire off a lot of innovations, or we spray innovation all over the galaxy.
Yeah, that's having to be big is sort of the side effect of wanting to do lots of good things.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a trade-off.
I would say though it's good for us. I mean, every time you guys release a new technology and it hits, it sticks like Silverlight.
Mm-hmm.
The Olympic tie-up and all that, it's just absolutely, it's out there now. It's you know, competing with Flash.
Sure.
That's good for us. I mean, people need training. They need to understand those technologies, how they relate to the .NET framework,
mm-hmm.
you know, how you hook all this stuff together. And really, I think that's one of the strengths of what we offer, like a really structured approach to learning a new technology in the context of all the other pieces of the .NET framework that, you know, that are relevant.
That's great.
Yeah.
Because that's definitely something that's missing.
Yeah.
So that's a, and you guys clearly have built a successful business around it.
We're trying.
Which is great.
Working on it. Working on it.
So are you guys, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb here. You're probably a pretty small company.
We are small, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Our R&D is in Dublin, Ireland.
Nice. Sounded like it.
Product is built. That's where I'm from. Mm-hmm. Been here about 10 years. And then we have sales and marketing over here in the US and you know, some of our support team. Personal tutor. I don't know if we've talked about that, Jim.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that either.
Yeah, great group. Great group. Yeah.
Personal tutor.
We also have a live component to our you know, to our product.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of a feature where if you get stuck and can't figure something out, hit a button and it puts you in contact with a live person. You
know, right from Visual Studio?
Right from within Visual Studio.
Wow.
So you can fire off your email and then you're, you know, if you've screwed up your solution, your Visual Studio solution so bad, you say, hey, I need help, and you fire it off to somebody and they're going to open it up, crack it open, look at it, and provide you feedback.
Cool.
You know, either tell you where you went wrong or help you out or, you know, say, you know, you're using the wrong stuff or great job. You know, so there's a live component to it as well.
Wow.
And these are not, you're not getting cookie cutter, cut and paste answers. These are people that are looking at code, have written code, and, you know, mm-hmm. and understand the problems that the guy writing the code on the other end is feeling.
That's a really interesting idea.
The reason we did that when we first launched the company, we had this early adopter program where we got maybe 20 companies to, you know, to test drive the product. This mm-hmm. is as we were, you know, getting funding and so on. And one of the pieces of feedback that came back from that whole process was, we like the idea of challenge-based learning and practice-based hands-on. We need more support. I mean, we're really struggling to complete these challenges. Mm. So we kind of scratched our heads and said, well, how can we want to challenge people. We don't want this stuff to be really easy, you know, but how can we challenge them at the same time if they get stuck, if they get lost, give them enough support to get, you know, to get to the end goal, which is completing a solution, compiling it, testing it, and getting a pass mark 100%, you know. So the personal tutor kind of came out of that requirement to really support people who needed it, who kind of, the resources weren't enough, the references, Safari just wasn't doing it. They needed personal interaction to get to the end goal. And our motto is, doesn't matter how long it takes you to get there, as long as you get there and you get 100% from our judging engine, we feel you know that subject and you can move on to the next, you know, you can move on to the next task. So that was the genesis of the personal tutor.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, how does that scale, though? I mean, let's say you had a million subscribers.
That's definitely an issue. Yeah. You know, it depends on where those subscribers are.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if they're all in the States, mm-hmm. and that's a little easier to handle. You have a couple of time zones to manage.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to hire people to do that. But when we start talking about some of our customers in India and England, and mm-hmm. you know, it can be a challenge. But I think we've been able to handle it so far. But it's definitely a scalability issue. Anytime you're putting people as
sure.
a resource.
Yeah. I mean, and it, you know, is there any thought of perhaps using like a community-based solution center so that I'm having a problem, I could then post my problem but to a forum, assuming I don't care if people see my source code, which, you know, isn't, that's another issue.
Right.
Then somebody on the forum could answer it for me, and then I get that answer back in Visual Studio. I mean, leveraging the community to help scale.
Yeah, we've actually started doing a bunch of different things around community and around the social activity of development.
Good.
You know, because that's sort of a new phenomenon. Before, the you know, you had the typical developer sort of locked himself in a room for 3-4 months and all of a sudden there was a product at the other end. Nowadays it's not like that anymore. You know, there aren't enough resources and there's too much stuff to be built.
Mm.
So you really have to rely on other people. So we've started building some of that stuff in. You know, we've actually, some of the things we've started to do is to challenge developers. We've got contests built into our application, and we've got, you know, some initial social aspects. But that's certainly within the realm of some of the conversations we've had is opening, you know, trying to get more help from the community, because
totally.
Obviously they might have better answers than we do.
And one of the things I have to, you know, I love about Visual Studio, not to sound like a marketing guy, but I'm not a marketing guy, is the ability for customers, partners, customers, ISVs, whatever, to innovate the hell out of it, right? So there's nothing stopping anybody from writing an engine inside of Visual Studio that, you know, perhaps could import certain Facebook friends and those guys I trust, and they can actually help me right in my session.
Exactly.
Yeah. Over remote access.
And that whole model is getting easier to do.
Totally.
As we speak. So that's, you know, that's certainly gonna open things up. You know, the easier it is for us to innovate products that Microsoft's putting out, the more cool things you're gonna see.
Excellent.
You know, we certainly want to leverage as much of that as we can.
Good. I mean, that's a big part of what we offer, actually, that integration with Visual Studio. I mean, developers just love it. You know, they can stay in the tool. They don't need to jump back to our learning environment. You know, we're integrated at the toolbar level, at the menu level. I mean, it's really tight integration, and I think it just, the whole learning experience is a lot more seamless, you know, so we get a lot of good feedback on that.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of a good story too about, for partners generally, is to, you know, demand that Microsoft innovate to a degree that makes your innovation, your ability to innovate easier, faster, more productive.
I totally agree. Yeah. Trying to move some of that stuff to the managed world would certainly, you know, speed things up, because right now it's still all COM based and you know, but you know, I've heard some of the conversation. There's some talk going on about what's, you know,
well,
what
Rico
could
Mariani.
Be coming. Yeah, exactly. I was watching some of those videos with him, and you know, he's got sort of a managed stack sort of mindset. So so that's you know, certainly not going to hurt things.
Totally. I mean, calm is calm.
It's going to be there a while, but you know, obviously, if they can lessen the pain and, you know, slowly pull the Band-Aid off, so it, you know, we're not feeling it all that much. But
absolutely, and that will, you know, someday, who knows, right? Visual Studio evolves.
Yeah, well, I certainly wouldn't want to predict that we're going to be in a managed world, but, you know, certainly would make life a lot easier.
It would be. It's a good point. Well, hey, it's great talking to you guys. And so people want to learn how to use .NET, but be challenged at the same time. Inner Workings is the place to come.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And we'll post links to your stuff on Channel 9. You said you have something for the Niners to play
we
with?
We do.
Sure. Yeah, we've set up a landing page on our site with a free sampler, maybe 1 hour of Silverlight 2 content, two 30-minute tasks.
Excellent.
And let people get their hands dirty, play around with the product, and give us feedback.
Awesome.
So that'll be posted, I guess, with the video here.
Absolutely. Yeah. So get busy, Niners, when you on these problems, and they'll solve them.
I hope so.
There's some smart ones out there. I mean, Brian Beckman, you know Brian Beckman on Channel 9.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. The in-house physicist.
Yeah, released 10 pretty hard problems for monads, writing state monads. And, you know, a couple Niners were just, he's very impressed. So
good.
Don't be surprised, man.
Would be good. Well, we certainly relish the feedback. So
cool. Well, great meeting you. Thanks
for
coming
on. Thanks for having us, Charles.
Yeah, cheers.
Cheers.